Search CRM podcast series, Creating Customer Value with Peppers and Rogers. I'm Amanda Malgieri, assistant editor. In the April installment of our podcast series, Don Peppers answers questions from readers on customer equity. How can we analyze customer needs and what's the link between customer behavior and customer value? For more of Peppers and Rogers' advice, check out their latest book, Rules to Break and Laws to Follow, available on Amazon.com.
Question. What is the best way for a call center agent to handle a customer who's frustrated, someone who's being difficult and using foul language? I'd like to advise my agents on how to handle these calls without getting frustrated themselves. Ideally, they'd be able to save the call and still create value for the company. Well, that's a good question. You know, when you set up a call center, it's important to train the customer contact people you staff it with, and a vital part of that training should always be complaint handling. Because no matter how you're set up and no matter what the mission of the call center is, complaints can come in anywhere at any time that you do so. The comprehensive book, Complaint Management, The Heart of CRM, by Bernd Staus and Wolfgang Seidel, this is from 2005. It's a great reference guide for managers that are attempting to get at the issue of how to handle complaints efficiently, how to organize for complaint handling, and how to glean the right feedback from complaints at the same time. Another book, more accessible, is A Complaint is a Gift by Janelle Barlow and Klaus Muller. That's from 1996. This is a book you could actually give to your frontline personnel and ask them to read themselves how to deal with complaining customers. Even more accessible is a very brief, almost pamphlet-like book entitled Handling Complaints by Angelina Bowden. It's from 2001. It's part of the Management Pocketbook series. It's only about 100 pages. Each of these books is available on Amazon today. I just checked. There's much too much for us to cover in this forum about complaint handling, but trust me, any of these books will help you more than you can imagine. Question: how important is it for an organization to have a formal complaint handling policy? How can it be used to analyze customer needs and create customer value? Well, every business has customers who have complaints. They complain to you if they can and if they're not too shy to do so. Or they complain to others, which is more frequent, frankly. Therefore, it's not only vital that you have a complaint handling policy, as in the answer to our previous question, but we think it's important to also have a complaint discovery policy. That is a process for actively probing and searching for unvoiced complaints. We first wrote about the importance of this in our 1993 book, The One-to-One Future, and it was in our 1997 book, Enterprise One-to-One, our 1999 handbook, the field book on one-to-one marketing, the one-to-one field book. It's in there extensively, issues about complaint discovery. We stand by everything we've written about it in those days. Everything is still valid. One of the benefits of uncovering complaints that are not voiced, in fact, is that they will frequently give you some insight into what customers need. Not always. And that's not the primary reason to handle complaints. But every dialogue with a customer is an opportunity to learn not just about that customer, but about others who are similar to that customer. And frequently, complaints are good insights into unmet customer needs. Question. What is the most accurate way for an organization to analyze and define customer needs? What key factors need to be taken into account? Well, customers are different in terms of their value to you and their needs from you. That's both sides of the value proposition, what a customer pays and what he wants for it. The problem most companies have is that when it comes to differentiating one customer from another, they look only at the customer's value, as revealed by current and predicted future transactions. And of course, while value is important and it's of great interest to the company, it's even more important to understand customer needs because it's the customer needs that form the customer's point of view. You have to see things from the customer's point of view. Now, it's complicated to predict a customer's lifetime value, which is the gold standard of value differentiation, lifetime value, because it involves projecting previous transactions into the future and making educated guesses about things you can never fully know. But as difficult as this is, the answer is one-dimensional. A customer's value comes in the form of dollars and cents or pounds and pence or whatever. It's economic only. It's economic. On the other hand, there are as many different dimensions of customer needs as there are analysts to think about them. Psychological needs, for instance, can be categorized in any number of different ways, but they are probably the most useful in terms of gaining a continued understanding of customers because psychological needs don't change very easily. Is the person seeking reassurance or advice? A good deal or a quick one? Is she assertive or passive? Curious, not curious? There's no substitute for good research in categorizing customers by their needs, psychological or not. Usually, we recommend some qualitative research, focus groups, in-depth one-on-one interviews, etc., along with quantitative surveys that are informed by these qualitative findings. Your goal is to categorize your customers into different groups based on similar needs. Question. For new customers, is there any legitimate way to track their past consumer behavior to get an idea of their growth potential? Well, usually no. But it depends on the business you're in. And in some businesses, simply asking the consumer might help. Sometimes asking the consumer is not appropriate. And sometimes the answer would be impractical to convey, as, for instance, in grocery shopping. How would a consumer tell you what his past grocery shopping habits are? But it's possible to compare a consumer's profile with other similar consumers using third-party data. There's a saying in market research that birds of a feather flock together. And by this, the researcher means that people who live in the same neighborhood, drive the same kinds of cars, and have the same kinds of family types are similar enough to each other that you can project the purchase patterns of one onto the other. There are large syndicated research services based on surveys done of tens of thousands of customers annually that can be of great use here. Keep in mind that the data is not perfect because the particular customer you're looking for is not on the research panel himself, but there are other customers on the panel who seem to be a lot like him if the panel is broad enough and the research is comprehensive enough. And that might give you a clue as to what a new consumer's potential is for you.
Thanks to Don Peppers for sharing his insight on customer behavior and value. Be sure to join us next month for the next installment of our podcast series. Until next time, I'm Amanda Malagiri for Search CRM.